From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made on April 10th in the town of Henrietta. According to a recording obtained by 13WAM News, Henrietta supervisor Jack Moore made some racially tinged remarks about African Americans. Moore's voice can be heard in a recording made by a Department of Public Works employee. The supervisor is criticizing the Affordable Care Act, and he says, quote, "You don't know about cousins in the city? We get all kinds of them. They bust them out here, okay?" He was referring to African Americans, as the recording makes clear. After an employee asks about the healthcare law, Moore says, quote, "This Obamacare, I think that's how we're going to pay for your cousins in the city," end quote. Well, leaders from the local Democratic Party called for Moore to resign. Moore's a Republican, and now the Republican Party chair of Monroe County agrees, says he should step aside. But Moore says he's not a racist. He's taking sensitivity training. He says he understands how his remarks could have been interpreted as racist, but he's running for re-election this fall, and the voters will decide. This hour, we're talking about Moore's comments in the broader context of racism. What defines racism? How is personal racism different from systemic racism? My guests for the hour include Simeon Bannister, Henrietta Town Democratic leader. Simeon, thanks for being here.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Also, here's Virtus Robinson, professor of history and African-American studies at MCC. Virtus, nice to see you back.
Thanks for having me.
Dave Andriotta is here, a columnist for the Democrat and Chronicle. Dave, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Evan. Always a pleasure.
On the line with us as well is 13WAM News reporter Cody Combs, who broke the story on 13WAM News this week. Cody, good work on the story. Congratulations on what I think has been a fair and thorough accounting of what's happened so far. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thanks for the kind word, Evan.
All right, so Cody, I just want to, I know you're on limited time. I just want to start with you briefly here. You got this recording, and what I think is interesting to note is that you've had this recording for a number of weeks, but you wanted to make sure that you understood the full context of the story. Is that right?
Absolutely, and it's not just about the recording or the partition of the recording. You have to look at it in the whole thing. It's about an hour long, and you have to make sure it's not edited. You have to make sure the context, and you have to obviously identify some of the voices, in this case, one of those voices being Jack Moore. And Jack Moore has confirmed for us that that is his voice. But in aside from the actual recording, we also looked at the broader picture, the bigger picture, if you will, and that is that this is not the first time he's been accused of this. The people presenting the recording to us said, hey, it's not just about this. There are some other things going on, and eventually you're going to make these connections with some EEOC complaints, some other complaints that have been filed with regard to Moore making discriminatory comments in the past, allegedly discriminatory comments.
Talking to Cody Combs from 13WAM News. And so, for example, Cody, with the EEOC complaints, that to you as a reporter said, this is not just about one morning where somebody might have been captured making comments that they might regret, but there's no other pattern or there's no other impact. To you, there was an indication that there could be treatment of town employees that has been called into question?
And that's the big thing right there. If there's smoke, there's generally a fire, but you have to make sure, in fact, there is or likely is a fire. And in this case, some would argue that this one, you know, recording here shows how this man's views might be impacting the way government is run. And there's a strong case to be made for that right now. And without a doubt, that was on display last night at the town board meeting where many other people felt that way.
Let's listen to some of Jack Moore's comments from that town board meeting, if we could. He talked about the fact that he does not plan to resign, and here are some of his comments.
The last thing I want to do is inadvertently offend anyone or make them uncomfortable. As supervisor, I will press on with responsibilities to the citizenry to demand and obtain a day's work for a day's pay from each and every town employee.
All right, so Jack Moore saying he didn't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable. He's not a racist, and he's not resigning, running for re-election in the fall. When you sat down and talked to him, Cody Combs, did he? I know part of what we saw from 13WAM News was that he says he feels bad about it, but he thinks in some way he was sort of indicating to you he thinks this is a little unfair.
Yeah, he says that, you know, these were just comments made at 7 in the morning among friends. He says he didn't realize, that they were offensive comments. But at the same time, he also said that, well, I took sensitivity training, and now I realize that they are, while also later in the interview saying that, well, cousins isn't really offensive. I worked with cousins, and, you know, cousins can mean many things in the dictionary. So kind of all over the map with his response as to whether or not he found it offensive or not.
Yeah,
in
yeah, and I have an honest question. I don't mean this in any snarky fashion. This is an honest question. I don't know what sensitivity training is, and it might very well be a valuable thing, and I perhaps it is. Do you know what kind of sensitivity training he's talking about?
No, and I'd like to inquire about that further, because we had a couple of employees come up to us yesterday, and they told us point blank that, you know, they take sensitivity training or HR training when they decide to work for the town of Henrietta. They said that's, you know, part of the course. And if that's the case, then what was this additional training? Was it genuine training? Was it a YouTube video? These are all good questions, I think.
Cody Combs, what are you working on next with the story? That's part of, I know, the question going forward, but, you know, what should we expect to see from you either tonight on the broadcast, or what do you want to know going forward on this story?
We're really looking to see what the next process is here, and that was on display at the meeting as well. A lot of questions. Does the town board have the authority to remove Jack Moore? He's made it clear that he's not going to resign. He's going to run for re-election. And the Board of Ethics, they are the ones who got this initial complaint. What is this Board of Ethics? How is it created? Who appointed them? And only one person from the Board of Ethics has responded so far and saying that this is uncharted territory, and frankly, they're not sure what the next step is, but they'll be meeting again in the next 2 weeks. That really, I think, is the next big thing.
13WAM News reporter Cody Combs, who broke this story and worked very closely within his own newsroom over the last month plus to make sure they understood it fully. And I think the thoroughness of your job and the job in that newsroom was on display this week, Cody. So thanks for taking the time, and I'm sure we will stay in touch on this issue.
Thanks for having me, Alan. I appreciate it.
Cody Combs, 13WAM News. Okay, so I know the phones are already ringing, and if you want to weigh in on this question, it's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. But I say this question, there are a lot of questions. And let me start with Simeon Bannister from the Henrietta Town Democrats. You have called for Jack Moore to resign. He's indicated that he feels bad about this, mm-hmm. But he thinks it's not representative of him being a racist, and he's going to stay in office. What do you think?
Well, a couple of things. I think, excuse me, we just heard Cody's description in terms of his engagement with the supervisor. And listen to the words that he used to describe him, all over the map. Jack is all over the map. So we've now heard several different recountings of why he used the term. The first recounting was that there was a guy that comes into his store, and that's his buddy, and that the buddy colloquially refers to him, and they exchange back and forth with cousins. That was the first answer. Then the second one was, no. When I was growing up on the farm, right, we were out in the country, and folks from the city came out to the farm, and we called them city cousins, and they referred to us as our country cousins. So that was the second explanation that he's given. And then he says that he's taken the sensitivity training, so therefore, I'm not a racist, but wait, no. I needed sensitivity training so I could learn that, in fact, I've made some hurtful and harmful comments. He's all over the place. He doesn't know where he is, and I think it's important. And I think I've heard it communicated by so many residents in Henrietta that he needs to step away from the position so that he can get a second to clear his head, figure out what's going on there, you know, look in the mirror, be reflective, take a step back from the job, and quite frankly, he's also injured the town of Henrietta, right? Our town is, our moniker is that we're the crossroads of Monroe County, the township of friendship, and I just don't see how you can lead a town with that persona and use the kind of language that he used.
Yeah, I think we can say Dave Andreotta from the Democrat and Chronicle wrote a column, "Don't Stay Silent on Racist Talk," a must read. I think anyone listening to this broadcast ought to jump on the Democrat and Chronicle, or if you've got a subscription, like you probably should, grab it and read the piece there. It is racist talk. Dave, we shouldn't be shy away from saying what we heard on that recording from Jack Moore, those comments were racist. Whether or not you want to say he is a racist or not, those were racist comments, weren't they?
Absolutely. And he referred back to what Simeon was saying regarding his recollection of his time growing up in the country, and he referred to his cousins in the city as city cousins, and vice versa, they referred to him as country cousins. I've heard that kind of talk too. That is not in and of itself racist, but he was saying, yes, in this recording, he is specifically referring to African Americans. He has since made that clear, and he's doing so in a derogatory manner. You understand the
Absolutely.
Context of which this is being this term is being used. Personally, I've never heard that term used to describe African Americans, which is actually part of my column today, where I talk about these code words, if you will, that are used, where you know what is being said when you're in the moment and the context is what it is. So in and of itself, is city cousins, a racist word? No, but in this context, absolutely it is.
Absolutely. And it was derogatory. It was making fun. It was othering. So Virtus Robinson, who is a professor of African-American studies and history at MCC, I viewed immediately whether or not I've heard people use the word cousins in this way. It was used to other, as we say. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. I've heard cousins before.
Okay.
I've heard it in like your cousins, and that's something that referring to someone that or a group of people that are below you or you're embarrassed about, that type of thing. I've heard that before. I've never heard city cousins, so that adds a different dimension to it. And one of the things that really strikes me is that when he talks about we're bussing them in. And so when I heard that, because I'm a product of the urban suburban interdistrict transfer program, that's immediately what I got to, and the whole our taxpayers are paying these people to come in and ruin our schools, ruin our test scores and things of that nature, and they don't even live here. We're busing them in, our city cousins. I mean, that's what I got, and being a graduate of Brighton High School and living in the city. That really offended me. And I saw immediately where he was going, and absolutely, David, it was derogatory. It was derogatory. And the only thing the reason why he's saying anything right now is because he got caught.
Well, and to Simeon's point about how this could injure Henrietta, I would just remark this. I've got a 3-year-old son. I want my son to be in as diverse an environment as possible for schooling. And there are plenty of suburban spots that are 97-98% white. I want him to go to school with people of all backgrounds. And I don't live in Henrietta. I'm not saying I would never live in Henrietta, but it is strange to me to hear a leader of a town indicate that if there's someone in the town, black people in the town must have just been bussed in from the city, as opposed to celebrating diversity. That, to me, is concerning.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that I think the real death knell here, as I hear it, is that minutes after he made the initial comments, an African-American gentleman walked up to the town. And when the African-American gentleman walked up to the town, he continued on with these very reprehensible comments, referring to him as one of your cousins, saying that there he goes now. Now, it's now come to light from folks that were there that Jackmore did not know that gentleman, and that guy was actually coming to that particular building because that used to be the state troopers' barracks. And he was interested in signing up to be of service to our communities in the capacities of a state trooper. So instead, what we get is this guy who wants to come and contribute in a very significant and meaningful way. And instead of even being able to see him for a human being that wants to contribute both to the town of Henrietta and broadly speaking to the state of New York, instead he's just, quote, a city cousin. Now, we know that folks arrive in Henrietta in all kinds of different ways, buses or otherwise. The reason why Jack Moore just is not tenable to continue his leadership is because our community celebrates that. Right? There's lots of people in Henrietta that were not born in Henrietta that are making very meaningful contributions to our town, not to mention the fact that they pay taxes, they contribute to job growth and development. They're making Henrietta a better place just by being there. And so for Jack Moore to say that, that they don't belong is very unfortunate. And at this point, we just can't see how he could continue on. And moreover, we can't see how he could get the support from even folks in his own party to continue on having made these comments.
Well, we did invite leadership from the Republicans in Henrietta to join us, had not heard back, and certainly they're welcome to call the program. Hope they do. But Dave Andriotta's point in the Democrat and Chronicle in the column, Don't Stay Silent on Racist Talk, is about the context of what we heard in that recording and the context that so many of us have been in our lives. Dave, tell me a little bit about that aspect of it, the fact that you have a town supervisor sitting around talking with employees, making racist remarks, and to your ears, did they sound uncomfortable with it? What did you think?
One of the people in the audience, I don't know his name, seemed to be uncomfortable with it, but this is just me speculating. What I want to remark on to before I get to the question is, what was so striking to me about that conversation was the ease with which Jack Moore appeared to be talking about this. Mm-hmm. The chuckle, this was a light conversation, as if to presume that his audience, those two or three men that were there who were all white, were with him. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, that was the attitude.
That is what is going on in that recording. One of those people did seem to be uncomfortable. I believe he responded with, "Well, I don't know anything about that." Something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing, but he said, "You know, I don't know anything about that." And to me, that is a code for let's not go there. I don't feel comfortable. I don't want to talk about this. He's an underling of Jack Moore's. This is his boss. He's the supervisor of the town. He probably didn't feel comfortable saying anything more. But that was his way. And again, this is just me speculating, but that to me was his way of suggesting and letting it be known that he was uncomfortable. The point of my column is perhaps he should have gone further. And I'm not blaming that individual because, as I say in this column, I've been in that situation myself. It's incredibly uncomfortable, and I've not spoken up when I should have. Well, I think we'd all like to think that when the really hateful words that we, you know, can't say are brought up, that we would say something. And I know that I have in situations mm-hmm. like that. But you know, those situations arise are very few and far between for me. But the, you know, where the really hateful words are used, the blatant overt racism, if you will, if there's a spectrum of racism. But it's when the code words are used and when there's this feeling of, are you with me? That's when I think a lot of people don't always speak up because it's an uncomfortable situation to be in. But I suggest that, you know, perhaps we ought to, because this is the stuff that breeds the broader racism.
Let me read from Dave's column. Courage is measured not by how willing one is to confront an offender blatantly spewing hate, which would be socially acceptable even in the politest of company. Rather, courage is measured by how willing one is to confront the soft bigotry of code words like city cousins that are the foundation for broader racism and intolerance. It's beautifully said. You know, and for anyone in this audience, I do suspect we've been there. Dave, you said you have. I've been there. Sometimes, and again, I'm not castigating my own family or former employers, but maybe it's a family member at a gathering and someone is saying something and you're kind of just saying nothing, or maybe you walk away to another part of the room or talk to somebody else, or maybe you do what the people in that recording did, which was kind of try to tip off the person that I'm not really comfortable with this, but they're a superior. And Simeon, I think Dave is careful to say he's not blaming the people in that recording. Did you hear discomfort?
Yeah, I certainly did hear some significant discomfort from folks that were there. I think in the full recording, there was a lot of awkward pausing, particularly after that gentleman made the comment, again, something to the effect of, oh, I don't know anything about that, with nervous laughter, a long pause, and then a reaffirmation by the supervisor about the fact that he should know that they are city cousins, they get busted, and so on and so forth. So I think it seemed to me to be pretty clear that there was some uncomfortability. I would be remiss, though, if I did not applaud Don Youngman, who is the town employee that also was in earshot of this conversation, and said in a way that he did not have to. I mean, he put himself on the line big time and said, look, I'm not comfortable with this. I don't think that that's right. And he didn't, you know, go to initially run to the newspapers and stuff like that. To his credit, he filled out an ethics complaint form and submitted it, a complaint form, by the way, to which he has not received a response. And I think that really belays the bigger point, at least in my estimation here. See, it's one thing when, you know, you've got flippant comments from folks in their own, you know, private places. That doesn't condone it in my estimation, but certainly, you know, we continue to reaffirm the principle of free speech and that kind of thing. Fact of the matter is that this gentleman, Supervisor Moore, was in a public building as a public official talking to public employees, and he was talking about a public policy matter, right? He was talking about not paying part-time summer employees a full wage so that he could keep them from getting access to health care. And it strikes me as especially disappointing and disturbing that he, in his apology, says something about a day's work for a day's pay, right? These are folks that are doing that day's work, and they deserve to receive their full wage. They deserve to receive health care. They deserve to be paid for that. And so he's making these comments in that context. And that's really where racism, I think, kind of meets the rubber kind of meets the road, is when we look at these institutional moments,
yeah.
right? Where it's not just one guy with some injurious comments, but he's making choices and decisions about how resources of the town are spent. Resources, by the way, that, quote unquote, those people that are bussed out there are contributing to. Right?
Yeah,
they're paying taxes.
Such an important point. I'm going to grab a phone call in a second here, but let me say that we're going to spend a little time in the second half hour talking more about what Simeon Bannister just brought up, which is the fact that in the American classrooms, we kind of teach personal racism. You know, be on guard for hearing those terms, the racial epithets. But we didn't really, I didn't grow up learning about institutional racism. I didn't learn redlining. I didn't learn all of the things that, you know, created, you know, mortgage fraud and families that were defrauded in so many ways. Simeon's right here. And what we're looking at in Henrietta is a question of some comments that were ugly, but then some practices that go with it. And those are two different things. And we're going to hit that in just a second. But let me grab Mike, who might have a different point of view. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it's so much different, but it's getting to the point to me that we're the two of you sound like you're coming across as this impeccably clean, perfect little, I'm going to speak out against racism. There's good people and there's bad people. There's smart statements and stupid statements. There's comments made by everyone in this world. And I'm afraid that we're going to get to the thought police and it's going to get really, really bad. I mean, so the man said what he did. I've got to be perfectly honest. At 54 years old, I've never heard that comment ever. I don't even know what it means or represents. So
the context is clear. From that's part of the point, Mike, is you might not have heard the term before, but it doesn't mean it wasn't made to racially belittle.
Okay, well, why don't you tell me when you heard it and how you feel that it's racially offensive?
Oh, very simple. He was talking about black people from the city of Rochester. His implication
was... He mentioned black people in his comments?
Yeah, in fact, there was a black gentleman who was coming, saw him outside the window, and he pointed outside and said, there's one of your city cousins now, or something to that effect. So,
okay.
Yes,
he was... I was not aware of that, so okay. Fine. I get it now. But
okay.
At the same time, I mean, we're really grasping at straws. I mean, everybody makes stupid comments in this world that we've got to just start realizing. I mean, are we going to walk down the street totally offended 5 minutes every 10 minutes? I don't get this.
Oh, I believe in being unoffendable, but I believe in also refusing to tolerate intolerance. And here is the difference here, Mike. This is, as Cody Combs, the 13 WM News reporter who broke the story, told us, this wasn't a case of them getting a secret recording and saying, gotcha, he said something really stupid, now let's smear him. They spent weeks looking at what's going on. Are there ethics complaints? Yes. EEOC complaints. Are there other people who felt that they've been discriminated against? As you heard Simeon Bannister mention, this was a town supervisor who was making a remark about somebody in a derogatory fashion simply because of the color of their skin, who turns out that all they want to do is actually work for or serve the town and be an upright citizen. And so, yeah, this isn't about being thought police, that no one can say anything dumb. I'd be out of a job for the rest of my life if every dumb thing I ever said, you know, cost me in the way that I maybe even deserve. I don't know. And I take your point about that. But this is about looking at whether was the comment racist? Yes. Is
okay.
He a racist? I don't know. I don't know Jack Moore. And I have a problem with this notion of Jack Moore saying, well, I am not a racist. Well, Jack Moore is a white guy. Most white guys in this country have racism in your DNA. That's
Hold on.
Mike, I do. I try to fight it back. And let
so
me...
When you say that, you're also not saying that the black people in America or the Asians in America don't also carry racism.
I'm not talking about
you
them.
Can't,
that's
well, I
get,
am,
I well, okay, but I get your point.
White.
No. Hold on.
easiest thing in the world, Mike, is to be a white guy in the United States of America. And I get your point that maybe other people can have prejudice or bias. Yes. But right now we're talking about Jack Moore, white people. I'm going to play a clip for you if I could. I'm going to put you back on hold. Stay there because I want you to listen. Let's listen to Saturday Night Live from this past Saturday. Comedian Louis C.K. talking about the fact that if you don't think there's not even a tinge of that in you as a white guy, this is what Louis C.K. says we should all think about. And he's kidding, but you may laugh at this because I bet you you'll think, oh boy, he's kind of right.
So I have mild racism. It's benign. It's not aggressive. It's not even negative racism. It's mild racism. I'll give you an example. Okay, like, see, like if I go to a pizza place I've never been to before and it's run by four black women, I'll go like, See, it's very mild. It's extremely mild racism. I'll notice that. Yeah. You don't usually see that, four black women running a pizza place. Unless it's called Four Black Girls Pizza or something like that. Like, that's the whole point of the place. It's mild. Here's another example of mild racism. If I say I'm in a hospital and the doctor comes in to treat me and the doctor's from China or India, I'll think, well, good, good. Good, more of that. Why not? It's very mild racism. Here's another example. If I'm in a gas station late at night, and a young man comes in wearing a hooded sweatshirt. If he's white, I'll think, oh, he's an athlete. If he's black, unless he has a big smile on his face, then I become mildly racist, and this is what I think. I think, that's fine. Everything's fine. Nothing's gonna happen. No, of course I'm fine. Why did I even think that for a second?
Okay, Mike, that's Louis C.K. having a little fun with it, but listen, I think that I agree with him on that. And here's the point I'm making. I'm not saying that if you're a white guy, you are a racist. What I'm saying is we have inherent prejudices that exist within us, and it is a sliding scale. We don't bifurcate the world into white people who are either racist or not racist. And Jack Moore wants to say he's not a racist. I wouldn't even say that I'm not a racist, or I don't know. I don't bifurcate it that way. I try to recognize that the world is complex and try to confront my own biases as opposed to saying, hey, I'm sorry I said it. You got it wrong, though. I'm cool. I even had black customers, as Jack Moore said. Okay, great. You see what I'm saying, Mike? That's kind of the difference.
Yeah, but see, that's the beauty of it, because we find ourselves having to apologize because we're being trained all along that we're racist and that we have mild racism. And when I see a black person, you know, this is the thing other than, you know, that needs to be taught. The National Association for the Advancement of Colored People uses the word colored. And I always ask myself why they wouldn't change that, because the fact of the matter is color. I look at the human being inside. And if I walk in and I saw somebody there, and I am in business and I meet everybody, but the minute I say, oh, I have a black friend or something, they go, oh, you know, you can't win. You can't win. It's just assumed that we're on the other side of the fairness. I try to love everybody.
Well, that's good. I'm with you on that. It's good to feel that way. I'm just saying I don't think Jack Moore is a victim of thought police.
He's going to have to live by what he said, and
sure.
I get that. But I think that it's getting completely blown out of control, it, personally speaking. If he's in a public sector, he shouldn't have said it. Let him pay his dues and move on. But I think that the tutoring that I'm hearing constantly is just getting overblown. I mean, I think people have free will and they need to pull their own pants up, you know, and behave correctly. I just don't think we need to be tutored on it 24 hours a day.
That, pull your own pants up. That's sort of a weird comment to make. But go ahead, Dave. Andrew.
I was just going to say that I think the reaction that this has been met with in the town of Henrietta from people of all walks of life, all race, color, creeds, suggest that it's not overblown. This isn't just the media trying to play gotcha. This isn't, you know, a Wham 13 exclusive that's going nowhere. People are talking about this, and they're talking about it, I think rightfully so. But to Mike's point about, you know, white people, I think, feeling on the defensive, you know, I'm speaking to you as a white man. I wrote the column from the perspective of a white man, and I've been in these situations before. In which as the comedian had mentioned, you know, mild racism is surfaces, and how I say in this column how I felt uncomfortable in those situations. That mild racism typically doesn't rear its head in situations of mixed company. So it's only happened to me in situations when it's, you know, five white guys in a room and a guy says, you know what I'm talking about, like Moore did. I suspect, Mike, that happens among other races as well. So, you know, I think your point is taken. These types of mild racism, I think, are not exclusive to whites. That's my take.
Mike, thanks for the call. Virtus Robinson is a professor of African American Studies and History. I want to let you weigh in on some of what you heard from Mike before we get to our break. And every phone line is lit up. We're going to try to get to more of your comments. But Virtus, your take there.
Well, concerning the NAACP, it was at a time, and if you look at who actually established NAACP, it wasn't established by colored people or African Americans. It was established by white people who wanted to help out African Americans, and they held on to the old term of colored people before African Americans decided that no, we are not colored people, we're Negroes, and so I understand where he's coming from, but at the same time, it's not just a regular guy saying racist comments. This is a town supervisor. This is an elected official that's supposed to be representing a town and leading a town. I'm sorry, but racist people should not be leading towns. They should not be elected officials unless I keep on thinking about Marcus Garvey, and when I teach about Marcus Garvey and how he praised the Ku Klux Klan, and it reminds me of this because he praised the Ku Klux Klan because they were honest. They were honest and they were open with their racism. And so where other people were subtle about it or PC about it, or, you know, you had to catch them. If more people were openly racist, then we can have a better decision if we're going to elect them to be our representatives or town supervisors.
And I don't think, by the way, my last word on Mike's point, and then we're going to get to your phone calls for the rest of the hour, is I don't think that everyone who's calling for Jack Moore to resign would have felt exactly the same way if he hadn't responded the way he had. And I don't know, because it's complex. There are obviously EOC complaints. There are ethics concerns. We had the recording. So I don't know if Simeon Bannister would have felt differently. But would you have at least been willing, if Jack Moore would have come to you and said, look, I wish I hadn't done this, and I want to get out in front of this, and I want to sit down with everyone who feels offended, and I want to make it right. Does that change it for you?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, Jack had over a month from when this incident happened to when the story ultimately broke. And in that month, he could have, you know, convened any kind of meeting to talk about what happened. In that month, Jack Moore could have, you know, been open and honest with the people of Henrietta about what happened. And instead, he thought it was going to blow over. And we have an account from Bob Lonsberry, who indicates that he went to Jack Moore and suggested to him. He said, Jack, listen, you know, the best way to handle this is just to be honest with people. Tell folks you made a mistake. Here's the issue, though, right? See, it's a little bit difficult for him to say that this is a one-off mistake when we've got complaints that have been filed where it is alleged that he called someone that was living with a disability and overweight a fat tortoise, right? When there are complaints where he called someone of us, where he denigrated someone of same-sex orientation by telling her that she shouldn't look the way that she does. And the fact of the matter is that over the course of the last couple of days, Evan, we've been hearing from more folks who said that they've had experiences of a similar nature with Jack. So this is a pattern of behavior. This isn't just like a faux pas or an oops or a mistake. And so for him to kind of flippantly say, well, I did the sensitivity training, right? So therefore that excuses, you know, what I said. I just think that that's, you know, a mistake. And I think that the extent to which he's kind of, it's a sensitivity training, it was the inadvertent, I'm just a business guy and they don't understand how I, you know, operate. What does business have to do with, what does running an efficient business have to do with race?
That was a strange comment. And Dave Andriotta pointed out in his column, Jack Moore has said, well, I wouldn't have been able to build a successful business if I were a racist. I think there are plenty of racists who've built really successful businesses. I'm not saying Jack is or isn't. I'm saying that point is, does not make any sense to
me. Oh, yeah, that's tortured logic. I mean, Donald Sterling.
Yes.
Isn't he the best example we've had in the last 2 years?
Yes, he made it to 80-something before someone figured it out. But anyway, let me go ahead and get a break in, and then all the lines are lit up. If you want to jump into the conversation, you can, as we come back from break, with Simeon Bannister, Henrietta Town Democratic leader, Virtus Robinson, professor of history and African-American studies at MCC, and Dave Andreotta, columnist for the Democrat and Chronicle. Your phone call's next on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson on The Next Connections. It's Innovation Friday. In our first hour, we talk to the author of The Autism Job Club. He writes about the neurodiverse workforce in the new normal of employment, and we'll hear from the Autism Council as well. Second hour, we're talking cybersecurity, and we check in with our friends from the Innovation Hub. It's Innovation Friday. Talk to you then on Connections.
A new exhibit plumbs the history of alcohol in America. Consider Colonial Punch.
So if two guys, three guys, four guys sat down to drink a punch, you had to finish it off, which might have given them the courage to overthrow the greatest superpower in the world.
The Chief Spirits Advisor for the National Archives later today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Tomorrow afternoon at 4 on WXXI.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, and to the phones we go. And a Henrietta resident is, I think, Sarah. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi there. I haven't heard the tape, and so I can't comment on it specifically, but listening to this conversation, I can tell you I've been a resident of Henrietta my entire life. My kids are growing up here. They're attending school here. And I think that some of Jack's words, and I'm not friendly with him, but I know him well and have frequented his store and his farm. I think some of this has to be taken with a grain of salt, understanding what has gone on in our school district, what has gone on in the town, and why some of his remarks may come off sounding very negatively to people of color. We have had a history and continue to have a history at our school of people illegally representing that they live in the town of Henrietta so that they may attend. There is more money spent on investigating those people who are alleged to have done this than there is on enrollment itself. And that is a problem. Typically, those people who've been investigated, and I'm familiar with this, have come from the city. And perhaps it's because they want better opportunities, perhaps it's because they want better arts programs or sports programs, whatever their motivation may be. Typically, they're not coming from Pittsburgh to attend Henrietta and lie about it. They're not coming from Lima. They're not coming from Livonia. They're not coming from Greece. So, you know, I understand that what he said has been offensive to people, and I understand that it should not have been said, and it certainly should not come from a leader. But he is also a person that has definitely grown a business and has contributed to the town. We just had a conversation about it over the weekend when we were at his store. He was allowing a competitive group sell flowers and plants in the front lawn of his store.
Hey, Sarah, let me jump in and say, first of all, when I worked in Henrietta, I was a frequent visitor and a big fan of Grow More Farms. Absolutely. And I understand that. I don't want to get too far afield, though, but let me let Simeon Bannister respond, the town Democratic leader. I also want to stress again, we invited town Republican leadership to join us and didn't hear back. But Simeon, go ahead.
Yeah, I also want to stress that my title is certainly Democratic leader, but most importantly, I'm a resident of Henrietta. And where I am, I live legally, and I legally pay taxes, and I am legally raising a family, and my son is a legal citizen and resident of Henrietta. So I think, you know, sometimes what happens in these instances is that we kind of lose a little bit of focus. Certainly we want to make sure that the folks that are paying taxes in Henrietta get the opportunity to take advantage of Henrietta schools. And so nobody, I think, is disputing that fact. But I don't see what that has to do with Jack Moore's comments. I don't see
but because
the point
I think
of...
he is, as the town supervisor and as a resident of Henrietta, you should be aware we all got checks last year because he found money that was due back to us. And I think as a person, again, I haven't listened to the tape, so I don't know, but I understand from this conversation that it was discussion over summer help. Summer help in the town of Henrietta has always been high school students, college students. They've always been part-time positions. They have never been full-time positions. It is a way to keep costs down for the town. It is a way for kids to come out of high school and have a job and make a paycheck at minimum wage. It has never been any way to give somebody a full-time position.
Ma'am, I don't want to cut you off, but I do want to point out that a couple of things. Number one, the gentleman that actually overheard this this incident and actually reported, his daughter is one of those folks that was a part-time employee for the town. She's actually worked in that capacity before. So I just think, you know, the idea that...
Does she have any complaints about him? I'm sure she hasn't experienced anything with him.
She actually has, but, you know, again, we don't need to get on into those weeds. Again, I just think the point here is that at the end of the day, the supervisor made comments that were harmful to our community. You live in Henrietta, and I assume that you would embrace people of all different backgrounds, creeds, and colors, like most of the residents, at least that I've come across in Henrietta. I assume that you have those kinds of beliefs. And if that's the case, then what he said doesn't represent who you are as a resident of Henrietta. It doesn't represent who I am as a resident of Henrietta. And at this point, the supervisor, it's very difficult for, you know, him to come back and say, well, you know, slip of the tongue, when this isn't just a slip of the tongue, and there have been several other instances and cases that have come forward. You know, I think if it was just a once kind of thing, and it was, and it really was legitimately a slip of the tongue, I think me and a lot of other people would have been, you know, perfectly happy to sit with him, to educate him about the mistake that he made, and to say let's think about how we move on. But instead, this is, you know, a pattern of behavior. We want to stress that it's a pattern of behavior.
All right, John in Pittsford, go ahead, John.
Yes, this is a wonderful program. To me, the fact that he was sitting down with his staff and made an assumption, made a remark, I think he was putting the heat on his staff to believe as he did. And that, to me, is the crime here. And that, to me, is why I don't think he should be a leader. Because I think what he's doing is he's influencing his staff to do what he thinks along those lines, and I really find that offensive.
John, thanks for the call. I would urge you, John, to read Dave Andriotta's column in the Democrat and Chronicle today. Don't stay silent on racist talk. Because, Dave, I don't know if you agree with John that Jack was trying to influence them to believe like he did. I think it more seemed like he assumed that everybody else would naturally feel that way. But it definitely put them in an uncomfortable position.
Yeah, I agree with you, Evan. I don't know that he was trying to apply any pressure. I just think he thought that these guys were with him on this one.
And Dave's point in the column is that not to blame those who didn't speak up more directly, but that we all can think about that, that the next time we're in that position, maybe we do, and we don't have to point a finger and say, hey, you're a racist. Again, we've talked about how that term is sort of maybe misapplied or more nuanced than that, but to say, why are you talking like that?
Yeah.
Well, I don't, you know, I guess however you'd want to address it, right?
Yeah, I'm not a professional in this area. I don't, you know, I don't necessarily have any expertise, but I think there are a number of ways to diffuse it. I mean, the first is just sort of letting it be known that it's not talk that's acceptable, and you don't have to finger wag and lecture. I think a simple way around it, especially when you're in a situation that's delicate, maybe you don't know this person well enough, maybe you're at a dinner party, wherever you are, you could. It's as simple as, I don't know about that, or you know, I don't like where you're going with this, and change the topic of conversation. I mean, at least let it be known that this is not acceptable talk.
Tim writes to us, and I want to get Professor Robinson's view on Tim's comments here for a little bit more of the other side. Tim writes to us, where in your conversation about Jack Moore do you ask what is the behavior, what is the perception that caused Jack Moore to make these comments? Has Moore seen a decline in culture? Has Moore seen the best family structure in blacks and made some stupid comment? Are there behaviors behind all the efforts by the thought police to shut people up? Not a program anyone would want to address in an overtly blatant manner. Booker T. Washington, 150 years ago, said we will eventually gain full participation in society by showing ourselves to be responsible, reliable American citizens. Was Booker T. Washington wrong? Was he preaching to behaviors? Tough subject, but the endless speech police never point to the reasons for the speech. Professor Robinson.
Well, when Booker T. Washington made that speech in 1895, you had to look at who he was talking to. He was talking to a whole crowd of white Southerners and farmers, and most of them were sons or even former slave owners themselves. And so that's who he was talking to. And then the next year, we have Plessy versus Ferguson, where separate but equal came in. Jim Crow laws were authorized by the federal government a year after he made that speech. So even he himself, years later on, felt that, you know what, I'm wrong. We have to do something about this. We have to, instead of, you know, saying, okay, we can be part of the same hand, but we can be, but we're going to be just the fingers, but part of the same hand. We can be as separate as the fingers, but part of the same hand, he said. But then years later, he recanted that, not really in his words, but in his actions. He started to finance anti-discrimination and suits and cases. I'm saying all this to say this. Booker T. Washington should not be a part of this conversation. What is a part of this conversation is this one guy's comments and what he's doing with his power and authority. And what is that? That's institutional racism that's going on in the town of Henrietta, from what I'm hearing from the residents. And I also know a whole lot of residents who are not bused in, who have their cars, they drive, they're tax-paying, and they are not being represented by this town supervisor.
Yeah, let me just say to Tim there, Tim is implying that, well, maybe Jack Moore made those comments for a reason. Maybe the culture showed him. He was looking at a black man he'd never met and joking about him being bussed in from the city as if he was some sort of lower person. And as Simeon Bannister pointed out, this was just like most people, someone who wanted to work, in fact, work very honorably. And so I'm sorry, Tim, but no, I think the idea that Jack Moore might have been justified in his racist comments that he made because of a degradation in culture. No, I don't think so. But let me try to grab another phone call. Who's been waiting? Paul in Brighton. Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, I think we need to look at things pretty much at face value here. There's been a lot of consistency, actually, in Mr. Moore's behavior. There have been lots of reports of his character, how he has been bullying some of his employees, describing some of them as being overweight, or actually saying that they're fat, or some disparaging remark with respect to their weight. Discrimination against gays and against people who might be overweight. So, you know, there's a broad context to this, that this issue of discrimination based on race isn't standing by itself. Also, there's a lot of hypocrisy going on here, on his part, that is. He accused some of his employees of not putting in a day's work for a day's pay. And the hypocrisy I'm referring to is he's still running his business. He spends a lot of time there. The reports that he spends only a few hours at the town hall, and he's making a lot of money on his business on the side while still being paid a salary, a supervisor's salary, by the town of Henrietta. So it's this broad context of hypocrisy and bad character, I think, that has to be considered.
Yeah, Paul, thanks for the call. And I think Simeon has made some of those same points throughout the hour. Let me try to squeeze another call in. Let's see here. Who was next? With Alan in Penfield. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, hi. I'm a Democrat in a kind of a Republican neighborhood. Unfortunately, I have a neighbor who put a sticker on top of my reflector at my driveway because he didn't like it, and it said FUBO. And I looked it up online, and it pops up to a Lonsbury website.
All right, hold on.
I'm not going to spell it out, but Barack Obama is part of that, and Obamacare, and everybody who is a communist, and it's basically he's blackballing me a white neighbor and calling me something offensive, showing his bigotry. And this guy's a shop teacher, leader of kids, you know, and he's putting in a sticker like that. And I think Lansbury is riling up everybody up all this stuff.
And let me just jump in, Alan, and say a couple of things here. First of all, this is not about Republicans and Democrats. Republican leadership, Bill Reilich of Monroe County, has called for Jack Moore to step down. We invited Republican leadership of the town of Henrietta to join us, did not hear back. Simeon Bannister is a Democrat, but you don't view this as right and left issue here, do you?
No, this is definitely stands far, far, far outside the boundaries of politics. Clearly, folks are united on the fact that Jack Moore said comments that are not in line with any of our values.
Okay, yeah, right. And you can read what Bob Lansbury's had to write about this subject this week on his own website and on WHAM 1180. And if you want to do that, you can check it out. But Bob Lansbury has not been, I think, a defender of Jack Moore this week either. So, Alan, I take the point that sometimes people make conclusions based on your political support, but I didn't want to get bogged down right and left because I don't think that this is about right and left. So let me begin to wrap the hour. Just about a minute left here. Virtus Robinson, as a professor who sees this episode, it's a sad episode, I think, but do we try too hard to find teachable moments, or is this a moment where we all can learn a little bit?
Oh, gosh, yes. We can all learn from this. And we're going to see more of this, actually, with more iPhones and cell phones and everything and more media and social networks. We're going to see more of this, more so than ever before. Whereas before, it's always been behind closed doors. Now, it's being public. I think we're moving out of the whole PC era, and I think that now we have to be more diligent to when we elect officials to really understand who they are, where they're coming from, and make a decision as to are they going to represent me fairly or not.
Thanks for being here, Virtus. Always great to get your perspective as a professor, and thank you.
Thanks for having me.
When you talk about a teachable moment, I think at least something that will stay with me is the advice from Dave Andreotta. Don't stay silent on racist talk. Even the mild stuff that we've been talking, we would say mild, as if, you know, again, that's sort of an awkward term on a spectrum. But I think Dave's column, well taken. Great work, Dave. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Evan.
And also Simeon Bannister, leader of the Democrats of the town of Henrietta, sharing his perspective, and greatly appreciate your time as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan. Appreciate it.
For all the callers who did get through, thanks for calling in. If you did not, it's just one of those hours where we could have probably spent three or four and not stopped. But thanks for adding to the conversation on this this Wednesday, this Thursday after. Is it a Thursday? It's a Thursday. Thanks, Valabanka, for being the best engineer in the business, and I'm Evan Dawson. Thank you for listening to Member Supported Public Radio.